I know you're going to love this, Chris.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Robert Saleh speaking about Aaron Rodgers.
If Aaron says he wants to play, he's going to play.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
So painful to watch, and makes it even more painful to think that Rodgers could actually return. And if that happens, the Jets could be done because they can't score a touchdown.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, Chiefs defensive end, Chris Jones. Actor, director, and comedian Bill Burr. Coming up, author Don Mischer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Bill Burr just left our studio. Holy cow, what a great two-segment appearance that was from one of the best at what he does, making people laugh and observing in a way that is unique. To him. And it was great to have him here. And then as soon as we said goodbye to him, Chris Jones pops up on the Zoom, and we had a chat with truly one of the best defensive players in the National Football League and defending champs of the Kansas City Chiefs. And Albert Breer in hour number one. Your phone call is at 844-204-RICH throughout. I know we just mentioned author Don Mischer, but he is technically an author. He is truly one of the most famous directors in the history of the medium of television. And the moments that he has brought home to everyone from the Olympic opening ceremonies that he has directed, Muhammad Ali's torch lighting in Atlanta, Super Bowl halftime shows. That's how I met Don years ago, interviewing so many of the musicians that he was bringing home to you in their Super Bowl halftime shows. I can't wait to get the story about Prince in the famed Purple Rain moment in the rain in Miami. Mm-hmm. And then, gentlemen, he has directed not one, not two, but three Academy Awards shows.
Whoa.
And I asked him a question I've been dying to get an answer to. Is he, as the director, the one who says, start playing the music to play someone off of a long speech? And the answer, he said, was yes. We are going to find out the theories and the possibilities and the stories behind playing some of the most famous actors and actresses and directors off the stage.
Keep it moving. Let's go. Show must go on.
That was one of my favorite Curb Your Enthusiasm moments in the last couple of seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Da-da-da-da. People start going on too long and telling stories. Larry will just sit there and go, da-da-da-da. Oh, my gosh. Play people off of their stories. So Don is going to come out. Talk about all the greatest hits. That's coming up. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. All right. Big time Thursday night football game tonight. It is the Ravens hosting the Bengals. And as I mentioned, Ravens win, Bengals get swept, and they're 5-5, and the Ravens are 8-3. They haven't had their bye week yet. And they would match the Eagles as the only members of the 8-win club as of right now and get a 2.5 game lead on top of Cincinnati and sweep them, meaning Cincinnati's path to the playoffs, if they make a nice playoff run, would most likely have to be as a wild card. Certainly with the Ravens having a tiebreak on them and an 8-3 record over a 5-5 team, that would be all she wrote, one would think, for the Bengals. Or the Bengals win this game in Baltimore, like another team from Ohio did last week, to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Ravens for the season, avoid that dreaded sweep, and put themselves flat out in the mix to win this division. That's at stake tonight. And then we just talked to Chris Jones about the Monday Nighter. So, after tonight's game, there are five intriguing games on the NFL docket. Once again, it is time for I think it's becoming a Thursday staple of our program.
Love it.
The top five most intriguing matchups of the week. This is for week number 11. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, here we go. Here's my top five most intriguing matchups of the week, and it starts with the Arizona Cardinals at the Houston Texans.
Really?
You tell me this isn't intriguing to you.
Interesting.
I understand the Cardinals have two wins. So what? Kyler Murray's back, folks.
The 1-0.
In his home state, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Undefeated high school player.
He is coming back to the state of Texas, and he appears to be renewed as a new man, a new quarterback, a mature, take responsibility type of guy, and the precocious, for sure, offensive rookie of the year and potential MVP candidate. How does CJ Stroud follow all of this up? His big time, last minute, fourth quarter, stones, not getting deer in headlights wins, especially the one coming off of the one in Cincinnati. Texans, can they go to 6-4 and beat the Arizona Cardinals, who come in completely renewed with Kyler Murray? I love this game, early window on CBS. This is a lot of fun.
I think so, too. It's a fun game.
Number four on this list. How will the Browns look with DTR? And the Pittsburgh Steelers coming in with their smoke and mirrors and 6-3 record where there are no pictures in the standings. Let's go. All right, DTR didn't do very well against the Ravens the last time, and the Steelers are sending TJ Watt in your direction and you know, the rest of that stellar defense. And can Kenny Pickett score points in the first half? You know, can they go ahead
complete
and
more than 12
take
passes?
A lead? But this is no slouch of a defense either. 2-6-3 teams in what is appearing to be, entering week 11, toughest division in football for sure. Somebody's going to be 6-4 and unhappy about it. And if it's the Browns, then maybe you start getting that sinking feeling that Deshaun Watson being out for the season is going to be a difficult thing to overcome. Or Dorian Thompson-Robinson, it's your show, kid. You got a championship defense ready to roll. Is this going to be like Zach Wilson's Jets? Or can it be Dorian Thompson-Robinson writing his own script here? And it's another magic carpet ride, and he's raising his hand saying, oh, don't give the Offensive Rookie of the Year award to C.J. Stroud just yet. What if I'm a Cleveland Browns division winner? I know that's a lot of magic and a lot of carpet rides right there, but who knows? It could start this Sunday in a league where crazy things happen. Number three on the list of most intriguing matchups of week number 11. Hey, Saints are off. Falcons are off. You know who's on? Baker Mayfield coming off of a win. Snapping a four-game losing streak, visiting San Francisco. And just when you think, okay, this doesn't intrigue me, Rich. Why does this intrigue you, Rich? Well, maybe the 49ers aren't as good as what we saw last week, right? That's what you think, Chris, don't you? Don't you think out there?
It's a 12-point spread. I don't know much is intriguing about this game.
I'm saying the Bucs can go in, shock everybody.
That would be shocking.
Get to 500.
That would be shocking.
And they would take the lead of the NFC South if they win this game because they already have beaten New Orleans, who are on a bye, sitting there at 5-5. The Bucs can make some shocking hay here. And the 49ers, let's see it. Let's do it again. This is a winnable game that you're supposed to win. And let's see it. This one fascinates me as well. Number two. I keep putting them on this list, and I understand you're tired of them. I am too, and I root for them. But the Jets at the Bills are number two on this list. Because the Jets can go into Buffalo in Western New York, sweep the Bills.
Have a better record than the Bills.
And have a better record than the Bills. This can absolutely happen.
That's crazy.
And you know, just continuing on with the Jets' point of view here. If Aaron Rodgers is showing up in his, you know, DeSantis Hokas, and he's not limping, and he's looking the way that he looks, and it's entirely possible that he's coming back this season. This is it. This is the week it starts, because on Sunday they take on the Bills in Western New York and can sweep them and overtake them. And then the following Friday, first ever game after Thanksgiving, day after Thanksgiving game against the Dolphins at home. Rubber begins to meet the road here. But if you lose and you're 4-6 and you're staring a possible 4-7 in the face, it doesn't matter how good Rodgers looks. Is he going to come back? I mean, these are the moments. It's time. Whatever the player only conversation was had amongst the offense, can it actually cash? And then the Bills have a new offensive coordinator, and Josh Allen and the Bills offense, it will be a very, difficult defense that they are facing. Could you imagine you're switching up your offensive coordinator on a short week? You play Monday, you got to come back Sunday. And this is the Jets defense that you're facing. It ain't easy. This is fascinating to me.
It's almost like that was a panic move.
Number one on this list, it's a no-brainer. Everybody knows. It's the Super Bowl rematch on Monday night.
Yeah.
I mean, what more do you need to know? Hurts, Mahomes, and Eagles, Chiefs, and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and Travis Kelce in this defense on Kansas City. And then, you know, you find out apparently the Swifts and the Kelces are going to meet each other for the first time.
Why is that news, to
be honest? You know what? It's news in the entertainment world. So they're going to meet for the first time. And, you know, what better way to do it than sit there on the worldwide leader in sports and watch a game that the whole free football world cannot wait. And wisely, the schedule makers made it where both teams are coming off a bye. So hopefully everyone is healthy and ready to roll. And we say mazel tov to the Swifts and the Kelces. Maybe I should send them some deli meat.
Is that a thing?
Not in Kansas City. I think, you know, Stone Street's just going and saying, what? What are you going to send them? What?
Send them a brisket.
Send them what? Okay. Eagles Chiefs, most intriguing matchup for week number 11.
You think we need one more?
Oh, sure.
I'll give you one more.
I almost went the Lions and the Bears because, by the way, if the Lions win this one, because Justin Fields coming back.
Fields is back, yeah.
It's intriguing on this front. I looked it up. The Detroit Lions have not had 8 wins going into Thanksgiving since 1991, the last year they won a playoff game.
Jeez.
And if they win that game, they'll have 8 wins going into Thanksgiving. It's been that long.
Wow. Okay.
But I went with this one. Because they've won 2 in a row under their interim coach, and they were both against New York teams at home. This one's a different story for Antonio Pierce and Spillane and Crosby et al. Going to Miami and take down the Dolphins coming off their bye with Devin Achane coming off of his IR stint, apparently looking really sharp, and Tua showing up with his new hairstyle and take them out. Now you're talking. However, the Dolphins need a win. They need a win to get that 7th win, certainly when the rest of the division doesn't appear to be very good. This one is intriguing to me. We'll check it out.
Two touchdown spread.
I know what you keep telling me, spreads to me.
I'm just saying what's expected.
I'm just saying why it could be intriguing or why I'll side-eye it. How does that sound?
I can feel it.
Thank you.
Side-eye is a good word.
Those are my most intriguing matchups of week number 11.
Who are you leaning in the Monday night game? You got to lean?
Can you give me another day?
Sure.
Give me another day.
I'll ask tomorrow.
Let's get Kelce on the show tomorrow.
Oh, I see.
I need to get the information.
Okay.
I need information.
You leaning Eagles?
I don't know how I'm leaning. How are you leaning? Okay. You want to tell me how you're leaning now?
I'm leaning Eagles.
You're crazy. This just did. Whatever you would have said.
Hey, you would have said
I would have said the same. Right. Try the other way. How are you leaning on Monday night?
I'm leaning Chiefs.
You're crazy.
Yeah. That works.
It's a bit. All right, let's get Don out here. And then at the end of the show, we've got fantasy advice and then the tale of two teams in the AFC East. You know? But before we get Don Mischer out here, let's talk about Game Time Tickets.
Let's do it.
Ah, yes. Game Time Tickets. If you are looking for events in your area to enjoy, sports, music, comedy, we just had Bill here, and theater events, Game Time is your spot. It's so easy. You can just in a couple of taps buy tickets and get a ton of clarity. What do I mean? You could see the view from your seat before you buy. You know exactly what to expect when you arrive, which is great when you got kids. Any obstructed views? Get those seats out of there. And then there's all-in prices that shows your total up front. So you know you're getting a great deal before you even check out. You take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. It's easy. Download the Game Time app, create the account, and use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions do apply. GameTime.co is what you should visit for terms. Again, create an account. Redeem the code RICH for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And I want to, Don Mischer is coming up next. Some great stories. Muhammad Ali, Michael Jackson, and more. Prince. Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories. Wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. You know, I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. All right, folks, let's talk about Game Time and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So, Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Back here on the Roku channel, radio will join us in a little less than 2 minutes, 10 seconds to air. My life in the director's chair, the brilliant director, Don Mischer, is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Great to see you, Don.
Good to see you, Rich.
I was about to say, the first time we met had to have been in the mid-aughts when NFL Network was just coming to its own.
Right.
And you were in the midst of an incredible run directing Super Bowl halftime shows back in the day, right? I think maybe Detroit was the first time I met you.
That was the Stones. The Stones. I think, yeah. The Stones.
Rolling.
Remember that Stones. Well.
Yeah. They're in Detroit. Where, by the way, I saw them in college when they're in the Steel Wheels tour in the Silver Dome back in the day, but this was Ford Field.
Yeah, well, they were planning to go back home, and we wanted them to stay 4 days longer to do the Super Bowl halftime show. And they said, okay, but you'll have to cover our expenses. And we thought, fine. Mm-hmm. Well, the expenses... One was a Boeing 320 jet that they had to hold for 4 days. I mean, it was just out of the roof.
Was that Jagger's jet? Jagger wanted the jet?
Yeah.
Jagger wanted the jet.
I'm sure.
Keith Richards just wanted an ashtray. That's all he wanted.
Right. You know?
Yeah, that's no joke. When I interviewed both of them, Keith Richards, before he walked in the room, they put an ashtray and an unlit cigarette in there. And I'm like, I don't know if they're allowed to smoke in here, even though they're the Rolling Stones. And they're like, no, he doesn't. He just wants it there. He doesn't smoke anymore. I'm like, okay. That's okay. Keith Richards. That happened.
That is Keith Richards.
I know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's how you got the Stones to stay.
That's
to do
how
the
we
Super
got
Bowl?
The Stones to stay there. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if anybody's got the Stones to say, I want a jet and gets it, it's that would be Mick Jagger, to say the least. Okay, the book is called 10 Seconds to Air, and we're 10 seconds to our radio audience returning. My life in the director's chair. by Don Mischer. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. As the terrific director of so many memorable moments for all of us, and Don Mischer's new book, 10 Seconds to Air, My Life in the Director's Chair. I'm holding it in my hands where all books can be acquired, available now. Great to see you, Don.
Good to see you, sir.
What's the first thing you ever directed?
Oh, my. Probably my sister and my brother when I was making home movies.
Is that right?
No, right.
So then the first paycheck you earned directing would be
the first paycheck I earned was nothing. You know,
really,
but
yeah.
No, I'm trying to think. I went to school at the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. I did not study television. I ended up in television as a result of it, and got a Ford grant to stay there and learn the craft of television. Mm-hmm. And so I probably directed some talk shows, and stuff like that in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But that's where the passion was lit, you know, and where I decided I'm going to give this medium a shot.
Well, then what's the first big major live event that you directed then?
Wow. Probably. Well, the first big thing I directed was not live. It was a show on PBS called The Great American Dream Machine, which at the time, Time Magazine said was one of the 10 best shows, you know, on the air. It was an eclectic magazine show. Directing, I think it was probably the first live show, was directing the Houston Symphony, which we did again for PBS. Then it was called NET. But, you know, getting in and trying to visualize and capture the excitement of being in the middle of a symphonic orchestra,
yes,
right in the middle of some great piece they were playing.
So then, the sporting event that was your first biggest one would be what then, out of all of the
sporting event would be the Super Bowl halftime shows. Now, I did opening ceremonies and closing ceremonies for like the Olympics in Atlanta, the Summer Games, and the Olympics in Salt Lake City in 2002, the Winter Games. So there was certainly a sports connection there. It's just, you know, what we went through and all the stuff that we did, it was just a really great experience to do that.
And the first Super Bowl halftime show you directed was
Michael Jackson in 1993. And that happened because in 1992, the halftime shows were not much at Super Bowls. In 1992, CBS had the Super Bowl, and they did dancing snowflakes on the field. And what happened was that they got challenged in 1992 by In Living Color, a black comedy sketch show.
Yes, sir.
And they said, during the halftime show, switch over from CBS to In Living Color and watch us on the halftime show.
Yes.
And then come back and you can tune back into the game. And at halftime, when the dancing snowflakes came out there, CBS lost 20 million people in like 30 seconds on their ratings.
Well, and Living Color is a terrific program.
And it was.
Yeah, I know, right. So then somebody reached out to you to...
Well, what happened to finish that story is CBS said, and the networks all said, the NFL said, we can't like put fluff in the in a Super Bowl halftime show. We need something that's going to grab people and keep their attention. And that's when Radio City helped them book Michael Jackson, and they were going to go ahead and produce the show. I had a history with Michael Jackson, and he said, I want Don and his company to do this. I don't want Radio City Music Hall because I trust Don. I've been working with Don. We'd worked on a lot of stuff.
Like what? Commercial work? Or whatever?
No. Motown 25, where he first did the moonwalk.
Okay. Did you know he was going to do the moonwalk that night?
No. I got to tell you how that happened.
Sure.
When we did Motown 25, everybody wanted to do a Motown song and then their new song.
Yes.
Marvin Gaye wanted to do a Motown song and then do sexual healing. Okay? We said, no, you can do one song, and it's got to be a Motown song. That's it. And we've held firm. Mm-hmm. We knew we needed Michael Jackson, okay, and the Jackson 5. So he said, I'll come back and do a number of medley with the Jackson 5 songs, mm-hmm. Tunes, but you must let me do a single, a new single I've got coming out. And initially we said no. And then we said, I was working with Suzanne DePass, who was president of Motown Productions. Mm-hmm. Let's just wait and take a look at what Michael does with Billie Jean. So the night before Motown 25, at midnight, the theater we emptied. Smokey Robinson and Linda Ronstadt were in there, and Suzanne and I were in there. And Michael came out with the fedora, the glove, all of which you can now see in the Smithsonian Institution.
Yeah.
And did Billie Jean. And we looked at each other and said, we better put this on the air.
Okay. I bet.
Wow.
And I said, who's going to take the call on Monday morning when Marvin Gaye says,
what's up?
You didn't let me do my new song.
Right.
I said, I don't care. I'll take the call from Marvin Gaye.
Did you get a call from Marvin
Gaye? No, we didn't.
Okay.
Nobody would look at that, what Michael Jackson did that time, that at that moment, and call and complain about it.
So you did know he was going to moonwalk, though, or because you saw it the night before?
We did not know that he was going to moonwalk. But he did all the moves, you know, and the costume and all that. And the moonwalk just happened.
And you as a director was like, follow?
I just followed him. The most interesting shot on Michael was a full figure shot.
Sure.
What we call a head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had that all the time on him in case I needed it. And when he started the moonwalk, there was no question about it. I was also at that time working with Mikhail Baryshnikov, the best ballet dancer of our century,
yes,
defected from Russia. He said, that is the most amazing piece of dance and choreography I have ever seen. You know? And it lives on in history. Now.
Don Mischer is here. So many great stories. 10 Seconds to Air, the new book by Don about all of these stories. And so Michael doing that halftime show, what was that like for you in the truck, in the chair,
First of all, we had to figure out a way to get a stage out there that would not damage the field. So we designed a stage that came out in about 22 pieces. It weighed tons. It was on soft balloon tires. It could be rolled out, mm-hmm. connected together. It had a little dressing room for Michael. It had his band. It had wind machines, pyro machines, all this stuff mounted in it. And part of the fun was seeing, can we get this damn thing together in the 3.5 minutes we had to put it together? And we just made it. But Michael, you know, Michael, it was magical. I mean, Michael was a guy who, if he came into this room, he would just sit in the corner and be very nice and polite and all that. But when he gets on a stage, he takes control. I will always remember the first meeting with the NFL and with NBC. Mm-hmm. I brought Michael in, and Michael went around the room and introduced himself quietly. We sat at the table, and the first thing Michael said was, "Now the first thing I want to do is move the start of the game 4 hours later so that my halftime show will be in the dark."
And how did that go?
That's in L.A.
Yeah?
There was silence in the room, and I said, Michael, you know, that means that people are going to be seeing you at midnight in New York. It won't work, man.
Way of convincing Michael Jackson. Yeah, the Super Bowl halftime is not going to move the kickoff. Wow, that is
funny, Don. Well,
that's
one of the things dealing with the artists on the halftime shows.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
The first thing you say to them is, this is not your show. You're not 100% in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like going out on tour and playing a big venue like the Hollywood Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You are one cog and a whole wheel that is called Super Bowl Sunday. You're one little piece of it, and you have to obey by and follow certain rules and preconditions.
Well, and some of the rules and preconditions, as it turned out to be, and I love hearing how, because again, we take it for granted now, watching these halftime shows where the stage comes out and it just goes like clockwork, and it's elaborate, and it's something that's remarkable how they put it together so quickly, and you were doing it for the first time, and how with Michael Jackson and everything else involved, you know, Prince. I remember part of the part and parcel is you got to show up on a Thursday and you've got to have a press conference and you've got to do this and that in front of the sports media. And Prince, I'll never forget, said, I am not taking questions. I'm just going to do a couple songs.
Yeah. Well, Prince said to me, I don't do press conferences. Mm-hmm. And I said, but there's going to be 500 people from the media here who want to see you and all that. He said, look, I'll pretend like I'm going to go up and ask her a question. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really going to do is sing a song. And that's what he did. He just sang a song at the press conference.
It's unbelievable. It was truly one of the most remarkable things. And I thought like that would be the takeaway of Prince's week. But then, of course,
the rain, we were always, I was always worried about the rain. I mean, Prince, his stage was designed out of Mylar. It was kind of a mashed up male and female symbol conglomeration. Mm-hmm. He had two dancers called the twins, real long hair, 8-inch heels. Mm. And it was slippery to begin with. And when it rained on it, it was treacherous. And so I was just, I didn't sleep the night before because I said, what happens if one of them falls down? Do we just keep going and step over her?
Sure. Right. I know.
I mean, what do we do? And the funny thing is that counting down to Prince, he's underneath the thing ready to go. We're like 30 seconds to going on air for the halftime show. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the heavens burst open and it just started pouring rain.
What'd you think?
Well, what I called him immediately on my walkie-talkie and said, hey, man, it is really coming down now hard. I just want you to know. And he said to me, can you make it rain harder?
He did say that.
He said that to me. Prince saw that as an opportunity, and he used it to give a performance of his life. I mean, the New York Times still calls that halftime show the best halftime show ever.
Well, and rightfully so, Don. Yeah. I mean, and even people who maybe haven't seen 50 of them, or half of them, obviously, that used to be Up With People and stuff like that. But that is truly... So you're sitting in the director's chair, and you must have had so many options of iconic imagery, right?
Yes, I did. And that was great, because a Super Bowl is covered with about 26, 27 cameras.
Right.
And I had a few of my own in there, and a few of my own cameramen. So I had like 30-some-odd cameras.
Wow.
And we were... What happened with that is it prompted Prince to elevate his performance and meet the challenge. The water started hitting the hot lights, and it created a steam effect that kind of floated against the stage. Water hit the camera lenses and created hexagonal stars, and it became... I mean, it took my breath away. It wasn't planned. It happened. And it was just magical, ethereal. And it's what made, I think, what made that show so memorable.
Can you make it rain harder? Come on. I love that. Don Mischer here on The Rich Eisen Show. The Muhammad Ali torch lighting moment. That was as moving as any Olympic opening ceremony, closing ceremony moment. And how did that come about?
We decided in the beginning, this had to be a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about this for a long time. And it was like playing Russian roulette in a way, because Muhammad Ali no longer could speak. He had Parkinson's. His hand was shaking. And I kept thinking, what if he dropped it? Could he pick it up?
Mm-hmm.
If in the act of picking up the torch, would he light himself on fire? Mm. I mean, it sounds weird,
but
that's what you have to anticipate when you're doing these things.
Sure, of course.
And the main thing was I wanted to keep it a secret. So we had a garbage room underneath the stadium.
A garbage room.
We're full of garbage and cement blocks where we met with Howard Bingham, mm-hmm. who is Ali's guy.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that if Howard Bingham walked into our office in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
people would recognize him. There were 400 people in the office, and they'd know we're going after Ali. It had to be a surprise. And I just wanted him to come out and stand there. No music, no introduction, no fanfare, just stand there. And I was cutting the camera feeds,
mm-hmm.
and I let him stand there for like 12 to 15 seconds on a wider shot because I wanted people to wonder, who is that?
Sure.
And they did. And they were saying, is that Ali? You know, whatever. And then I took a closer shot of him, like a waist shot,
mm-hmm.
and the place just erupted. I mean, and the people were crying in the audience,
yeah.
and it became one of those memorable moments. But keeping that a secret, had everybody known it was going to be Ali, it would not have had the impact that it did. And even Bob Costas and Dick Enberg, who were narrating this, commentating on it, I said to Dick Ebersol, we cannot tell them who this is going to be.
He knew Dick Ebersol, obviously.
Dick Ebersol knew. There were about four or five of us who knew. And Dick honored that, did not tell them. And Costas, when he was describing it, it was very, very eloquent. I mean,
well, that's Bob. You had the right moment for everybody involved.
So anyway, that's how that all worked. But surprises in my business are real important.
And they're rare. They're rare.
And they're rare. And it's hard to keep them a surprise now, too. But, you know, the deal I had with Howard Bingham was, because I didn't know if I could trust the Ali camp.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if word gets out that Ali, even if it's as late as the morning of the opening ceremonies in Atlanta, if the word gets out that Ali's going to be doing it, I have the right to change. And I'm going to put Evander Holyfield in, who is also from Georgia.
Yes.
You know, and let him light the torch. Because I had to play tough on it because I didn't want it to leak.
Wow. That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
That's the real deal. You know? Wow. Don Mischer here on the Rich Eisen Show. In a couple minutes I have left, I can go in so many different directions, but I'm going to go in this direction. You directed 3 Academy Award ceremonies, right?
Yeah.
And you as the director, are the one who decides to start playing the music over speeches that go too long?
Yes.
How does one go about
this
process, Don?
That's really like playing Russian roulette. I'm telling you, here's what often happened when I did that.
Okay.
You're pressured with getting the show off the air on time.
Of course.
The ratings stay good if you get off the air on time. There's this constant pressure. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Yeah.
So I would sometimes have to make a decision. I'd have to play people off and start the music. And it never failed. Some guy would come out to accept an award.
Mm-hmm.
He'd start thanking his agent, his lawyers,
mm-hmm.
is this, is that, a litany of all these people. And finally, I would say, I got no choice, music. And then the next thing he would say is, and my mom, who I lost 2 weeks ago, up in heaven, mom, we did it. You know? I mean, it never failed.
Never failed. See, if they started with mom, and then then go to the agent.
And suddenly I'm going, no music.
Oh. Hold it. You know what I mean? Did you ever run into an actor or actress who said, you know, what gives? Did that ever happen?
No.
Okay.
No.
So then who's the most famous actor or actress you played off the stage? You got one?
Oh, my God. I don't know that either. Probably Barbara Streisand or something like that.
Nobody plays Barbara off the stage, John. Come on.
No, I got to tell you. That's the award shows are tough, man, because you can't control who wins, mm-hmm. and you can't control what they say. And those are the two things that make award shows memorable and successful. And that's where the heart and the emotion is. Yeah. And as a director or producer, you can go wrong more than you can go right on an award show. But they did put my kids through college.
This book, everyone should get it. It's called 10 Seconds to Air, My Life in the Director's Chair. That rhymes. Don Mischer. Don, I could literally talk to you all day, and I appreciate you coming here. You are a legend in this business.
Thank you.
It was an honor to have been anywhere near your halftime shows as I was in the early parts of NFL Network and getting to interview some of these acts that you then brought to life. It's awesome.
Well, thank you, Rich. It's fun being here and fun talking with you.
Same, anytime. Okay. Don Mischer here. Everybody should get his book. So many great stories in it. We'll be back to wrap up this show, get you ready for Thursday Night Football in a moment. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
You met Prince, correct?
Yeah, I never forget. We were at Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. Security came to me to my seat at the end of the show, or towards the end of the show, and said, Prince wants you to come on stage. I was like, okay. Yeah, he wants you to come on stage now. All right, so I'll go on stage. It's me, Whoopi Goldberg, Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, a bunch of other people on stage. And we went to this after-hour spot after the concert, a place called Village Underground in the village.
Sure. Oh, that's famous.
Yeah. And so, you know, because Prince likes to jam afterwards. Well, Prince just went to go listen to the musicians. And so it's Prince, his assistant, myself. And I see Prince lean over to his assistant. And then all of a sudden, the assistant leans over to me and says, I don't know why I do this voice, but it's like, sure. Prince wants you to come back and have pasta and pizza. I was like... Oh, okay. And then Prince got up and left, and she got up and left. I don't know why her voice is so deep, because it was a woman.
She got up and she left. Because you were summoned.
Yes.
You were summoned by royalty.
And there was, you know, an array of people in the living room, and I went back to find Prince, and he was back there holding court with Tavis Smiley and Cornel West, and he looked up and like smiled and gave me the peace sign, and I went back in, and we had pasta and pizza at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. how did Prince like his pizza? This is very important. The toppings is a window into one's soul.
First off, there was no meat on the pizza. And I didn't see Prince eat any pizza. We would go to his house, man, for the house parties. And it'd be Stevie Wonder playing the piano, Malcolm Jamal Warner on bass, Rochelle Farrell singing lead. It was just amazing, man. And then you would get to like 5 o'clock in the morning, his chef is serving you breakfast. You're like, why am I at Prince's house at 5 o'clock in the morning, man?
Love it. Love all of it, man. So much fun. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone all season long. You can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me this coming Monday and all season long for free. And you can get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I don't know. There's so many stories that Don Mischer just told, and the stories. I think my favorite one is Michael Jackson telling NFL executives in his first meeting, can you push kickoff 4 hours so here in the Rose Bowl in Los Angeles it can be at night?
I'm shocked that they didn't do it.
And then instead Don doesn't tell Michael, listen, it's the NFL. They can't move the Super Bowl for you as much as we love you. The answer is just like, Michael, that'll mean midnight in the East Coast. Oh, okay. So just keep it the way it is. Like I that story is my favorite. And then just the confirmation of what we've heard in so many NFL films. Yeah. I think there's been coverage of the Prince halftime that he said, can you make it rain harder? Because I told Don, as he's walking out, I'm like, what? He could have easily said, Prince could have easily said, let's wait 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Is there lightning? What is it? What does the radar say?
Can we do it after the game?
Yeah, you know, can we wait? Just give it a couple more minutes before, just see if it passes. You know, what does the radar say?
Wow.
And instead he goes, can you make it rain harder? And if you're the director of this, you're like, and you're seeing 35 shots in front of you, and everyone is more beautiful than the next, you're like, okay, it's go time. And then Prince, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
Really cool.
TJ Jefferson, it is time for your weekly fantasy advice update, brought to you by and sponsored by our friends at Prize Picks. Hit it, please.
All right, yeah, like we do it this time. Week 11, let's get you guys ready. Let's do this quick. You know who's him this week? Jared Goff, believe it or not, against the Bears. Bears allow an average of 21.5 fantasy points per game to opposing QBs. And in two home games against Chicago as a member of Detroit, Goff is averaging 23. At home, you know, he's been a star. On the road, it's been kind of tough for him, but they're at home. I'm looking for Goff to keep moving, keep it rolling. You got the Sun God. You got Sam Laporta. They've got a great running game. Line's rolling, man. Let's go. Aaron Jones, Brockman, believe it or not. Here's the deal, right? Every year it seems like Aaron Jones has that one game. We'll have like a 3-touchdown game, a 4-touchdown game. He does it once or twice. He had a decent game at the beginning of the year, and then you haven't really heard anything about Aaron Jones, right? But I feel like this, man. The Chargers are number 4 in most fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. 9 backs have scored at least 13 per game against them, so I'm looking for Aaron Jones to be him this week. I'm looking for him to have a big game. Now, not him. Unfortunately, there's a guy, we partied with this guy, Brockman. We drank beers with him. You took your shirt off with him.
I did take my shirt off. Yeah, that's true.
It's Gabe Davis.
I know.
Sadly.
I thought is Bert Kreischer not him? I'm like, wait a minute.
Gabe was actually there with us that night.
He was, and we had a great time. I know. He's a cool dude, man. But unfortunately, he scored 9 or less in 4 of his last 5 games.
He's killing me.
And he has a horrible history against the Jets. He doesn't play well against them. Rich, you know your defense is very tough. In his past 4 games, he has 10 catches for 135 yards, no touchdowns. Unfortunately, Gabe Davis this week, you've got a better option, sit him, because he's not him. Trevor Lawrence, also not him. Look, man, he's not played great as a fan. As a real quarterback, sure, the Jags are rolling, but we're talking fantasy, right? He scored more than 20 fantasy points just twice this season, and only 3 QBs have more than 20 against the Titans D. They're sneaky good as a defense. So Trevor Lawrence, unfortunately, guys, don't see him being him. Now, you know who might be him. This is the header gut section. There are 2 guys that I think if you got a chance to get them on your teams, you should do so. Ty Chandler, running back for the Vikings. Because Madison's out,
The Broncos are number one in most fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. Now you got Ty Chandler. He had 15 for 45 yards and a touchdown last week. Pick him up if you can. He might be him. And Trey McBride, tight end for the Cardinals.
Look,
last week I thought Hollywood Brown was going to be him. It turned out it was Ty Chandler and not Brown. He's got 8 catches for 131 yards on 9 targets. You know we love the high target rate, and that's what makes you successful in fantasy. So Ty Chandler, Trey McBride, look for them. If you can get them, because they just might be him.
All right, thanks very much, TJ. Our fantasy football update sponsored by Prize Picks, the number one daily fantasy sports app. If you're ready to test your skills, join the Prize Picks community. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Gabe Davis is killing me.
When I saw Tua Tagovailoa in Germany, you know what he was doing? He was clutching a little figurine, plastic figurine, like a toy. It's his son Ace's toy, and he was carrying it around because when he's on the road, he wants to have some part of his son there and his family there.
I like that.
So it made me feel even more stupid saying, why aren't you more salty? Which I did anyway. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if you know, I do a segment, Salty Tua. He either didn't care or didn't know.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
And I told him, like, that's the guy I want to see more of. And he basically said, my upbringing is not that, right. You know, I respect my elders and, you know, and I'm like, so all the media are elders, like, I was done pushing. I'm like, come on, I just want to see that guy, the Salty Tua guy. And I had no idea what was more possible was a cornrow Tua. He showed up from the bye week with a new lid. And it was all the buzz at his press conference.
Yeah, got him done last week. So it's been in for a week and a couple days. So
was it your call or was it?
It was my call. My hair was outrageous. So I thought if I didn't braid it or if it wasn't long enough that I'd just cut it. So I thought I'd just get it braided.
The Twitter's already kind of ablaze. They think you look like Drake.
But Drake, I don't know if I look like Drake. Drake?
Can you rap?
Kiki.
Can you rap? Wifey likes it, though?
The wifey likes it. She loves it. Got to get her redone before the game.
Sweet, sweet Tua.
Is he too nice?
That's why I said I want more salty. I want more salt in the diet, but that's just not him. I guess we have the split screen. What do you think?
Pretty good. It's pretty close.
But as for the opinionating on it, I have to turn to my right, the only guy in the studio with hair at present.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's true.
Because I can't comment. You can't comment. Felly, you're out.
Yep.
What do you think, TJ?
Oh, he pulled him off.
He does.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He looks clean. I like it for Tua.
Now, what if he starts?
But most importantly, Rich?
Yes.
Mrs. Tua likes it.
And well, that, by the way.
Plain and simple. That's the most important.
And I totally agreed with that as well. Like that, obviously, happy wife, happy life. That's the way it goes. But you guys know this already, right? Do not refer to Susie either in person or with her not in the room as wifey. Don't do
adding,
that.
Adding the Y, like that was
wifey.
That was interesting.
I don't know who did that.
That's what people call it. That's
I'm just caution. You know, I'm just trying to give you the yellow light on that one.
Well, now you know I'm going to have to say it to her. But next time she's in.
Oh, you might be the only one who gets away with it.
Me and Sue's are cool.
I know that. But that was fun. Tua, two thumbs up.
Kiki,
I like it.
Kiki,
call me on my cell phone.
No, you didn't.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
We have Michael Azarad, who was Nirvana's very first biographer. I'm not sure how many people realize how many of the best songs on In Utero were written way beforehand.
To be fair to Kurt, he was also a new father. There was a lot of stuff distracting him. It wasn't just drugs, although that was certainly a major factor.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.